Join us as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
Special guest here tonight, where we're talking about comedic talk show hosts. We got none other than Noka Comedy News Podcast and Give Me Back My Action Movies co-host Dan Cawley. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on? I'm glad I'm being called special. That's nice.
In
today's climate, it's nice to be called special. I'm usually called something else. If you listen to Noka, you can hear Ricky call me a few different colorful phrases, but special is not one of them.
Oh man, so I thought we just I was glad to have you on this episode because I didn't have anyone else to confirm for this, but more importantly, I given the main podcast you have, it kind of made sense that you would want to be on this one because you are a comedic news host.
Yeah, we try to be. Yes, The NOCA stands for the news no one cares about. So we try to take news from around the world and put a spin on it to be the lighter side of things. And like we talked a little bit before we went on air, some of it writes itself. It really does.
So,
the world is a giant messed up carnival ride right now. So we're the ones on the side eating the cotton candy, watching it as it goes around.
It's kind of like that one meme that reads it's the one of Michael Jackson saying I'm just here for the comments.
yeah that's kind of what we do, but we are the comments, unfortunately, for some people.
It's kind of like when you're doing a review of whether something works or not and then someone gives you their response, which is duly noted, which is like, okay,
yeah
thanks. Yeah, dude,
So far, we've never got any reaction or actual response from anyone in any of the stories that we've done. I'm kind of interested for the first time that actually happens. I'm waiting for someone to get back to me.
Someone going, hey, oversteps.
And someone
would be troll really on upset. Apple.
Yeah, that's all right. No publicity is bad publicity.
Oh, man. So growing up, who was your main kind of inspiration of just comedy before we kind of get to the actual talk show hosts?
Comedy in general. Well, let's see. I'm 45 now. So a lot of the inspiration that I took probably in two different stages was a lot of George Carlin, a lot of the cynical look upon life that he would present.
Nice.
He was a lot more witty than I was about it, but him, classic Robin Williams work. I like to think that I grew up in the silver age or golden age of HBO comedy specials.
Perfect.
You know, with the comic relief stuff like that we would get to see SCTV when I was a kid and Saturday Night Live. And then when I got a little bit older, we hit the generation of the shock comics, you know, with Sam Kinison and Andrew Dice Clay, and we always had Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy in the background. So mostly those guys were my inspiration as I was a younger man. And then as I've grown up, I've became a big fan of Patton Oswalt's work.
Nice.
I like Posehn's stuff because he's kind of a cranky old guy like me. And then I really got into Jim Norton and some of his cast of characters a few years back, and enjoyed some of their work as well.
Oh, for sure. And it's interesting that you bring them up, because like you say, it after a while, it was kind of to that point where it's like, who do you find who's like a comedian who is like, is more than just, again, the tee-hee, you know, profanity.
Sure, yeah.
It's like, are they actually going to say something meaningful? And it's like, oh man, that's so surreal. And it seems like nowadays we just got toxic people just repeating what Adam Carolla or Joe Rogan are saying. I'm like, no. We need someone. I mean, here's the thing. Carolla kind of gets away with it just because he's Jimmy Kimmel's friend. It's like Rogan, right. He's trying to be Howard Stern 2.0, and he's definitely just, he was never there. He was always just, I want to just be a cranky asshole and see what I can get away with. I'm not in New Jersey anymore, so that doesn't really work.
Exactly. And I'm, you know, it's like, we had comedians like that through history, like Dennis Leary, but he went on and actually did acting, and you know, I thought he was funny anyway, but he, you know, he had that real cranky persona in the early 90s.
The relatable, went on and I'm just really fed up and I just want to clock out.
You know, and you got Bill, you got Bill Burr who does that now. And I absolutely love Bill Burr because you can see, or you can hear in his comedy, well, you can see too if you're watching him, but you can hear in his comedy, he just, he doesn't, he has his own set of guidelines and rules and what he sees, and that's what he follows. So you may not agree with him, and this side may not agree with him, or that side may not agree with him, but you know what you're going to get with him. It's his perspective, and that's it. You know, regardless if it's right or wrong to you, it is definitely his perspective. I find most of the stuff that he says pretty hilarious. You know, the F is for Family series that he put on Netflix, absolutely hysterical, you know, I thought. And then at the same time, he can't act. I mean, the guy was in Mandalorian, you know, kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. And I'm glad you bring him up because he's kind of another guy who's just like, he's having to work with all these different people with different personas. And he's just kind of the one who just wants some kind of sanity. I mean, even the comedy show hosts we're going to talk about, I mean, they continually invite him on because he basically is able to just kind of, I don't know if compromise is the right word, but he's able to just kind of just say, hey, let's talk about something that kind of affects us all and settle down at the end of it.
Yeah, I think for some reason he has, okay, so going back a little bit, people like Andrew Dice Clay, he can't, you know, he's not relevant anymore.
No.
People like Eddie Murphy, he had to change his entire career essentially, and started making really crappy Disney movies. And
you know why? Bill Burr, had the same agent as Adam Sandler. Same asshole who groped Terry Crews, I think. So there
you go. Well, yeah, probably. So you know, and then but you look at Adam or Bill Burr rather. And he knows where to take other jobs to keep himself at a certain level. But he also, I think the reason like people like Conan loved him and bring him on the show and these different hosts is that he's allowed to get away with saying what they're thinking, but they're not necessarily allowed to be able to say those things. So, you know, for Bill Burr will go on Conan here just spout off about something. And Conan's laughing, and you can see that you can see almost in his face that he's like, yeah, exactly. But I can't get away with saying that. You can get away with it. For some reason, he
just you're my guest.
and he has that ability to say.
Worst that happens is you won't be back for 10 years.
and Bill Burr wouldn't care. You know, so it's like he's somehow figured out the formula to be able to say these things and still get away with it.
Absolutely.
You know,
and unfortunately I think a lot of comedians have just now descended into the whole, so here's what I can get away with before I'm canceled. Now that's kind of the whole thing, the cancel culture argument. And it's just like, well, here's the thing. I mean, the wise person is able to discern between the, you know, it kind of for me, that was just the second stage of Me Too. It's just like, who are we getting rid of who's just a toxic, shitty person? And then it became kind of irrelevant because then well, I mean, still relevant in many capacities, but it got very old very fast because, I mean, it was kind of like with Instagram and TikTok, is like, who's legit and who's, you know, stealing each other's, you know, fame and getting slightly more clicks by stealing their content, and and who's just always was full of it. And people just have too many times, and they play to all the kinds of audiences. The attention whores, the ones who get easily offended by everything and want melodrama about people who don't even affect anyone's lives. And then, like you say, there are the ones who's just like, they're legit, you know, famous overnight and well earned, and now, you know, they don't know how to handle it. They don't have any PR, and it seems like the internet can make anyone famous overnight now. And
well, I'm waiting for it to make us famous still. I'm still waiting on that. You know, anytime it wants to go ahead and let us be famous, it has my permission. So, you're right. I mean, with comedy and you know, my co-host on Anoka, specifically Ricky and I, we both look at comedy as an art form. Now, what we do on that show is obviously not high art at all. We do a lot of let me ask you this question. What's the language standards here on this particular podcast?
Oh, we're uncut, just like you.
Excellent. Okay. So we do a lot of dick and fart jokes on. we use that term. We do a lot of dick and fart jokes on Noka, but at the same time, we like to actually try to craft a joke. We don't want to. And don't get me wrong.
Take some time and some build up versus just, hey, right. So you go, you're going to get canceled. You said that. And I was like, yeah, well, okay. It, you know, it's not like see who can get away with smoking a joint in the men's room, you know, and, you know, after soccer practice. Sure. It's more, I think this is it. We're trying to figure out which celebrities are legit, just really clever at making fun of how everyone's a little mischievous or a man child in some extent versus, let's see what we can get away with, because I never grew up.
Well, we like, well, like on the last episode we had done prior to this recording, we had done a joke, and it was one that we kind of we did it, and because we record our show, we just do it, and then we cut certain things and edit and such.
There's always going to be something where you slip and you're like, that might be taken out of context, and I don't need to be canceled by someone.
So we did a bit, and we both laughed really, really hard, and we both looked at each other and said, should we do that? And we were both like, and for like 2 or 3 days, we weighed the pros and cons of actually using that bit and airing the joke. And we went ahead and aired it because, A, I think everything ahead of that gives you a good premise of what's going on. It's very satirical. Okay. You know it's satire. You know there's nothing about it. B, I think we've done a good job of crafting the show to the point to where you know the characterized versions of us that we're playing. And then for the third, you know, and the third thing is that comedy has still got to have an edge to it. The comedians that, you know, have no edge to them, the super family, and if you don't have to work blue and are still hilarious, that's great. That's awesome. I'm not that good. I can't. But, you know, you still have to have an edge of something, because comedy has always been based on, I think anyway, comedy has always been based on the general every person being able to see things that are out in the world and picking them apart and bringing forth an element of that, whatever it is, social interaction or a tick that we all have or something, but bring something forth to where we all go, oh yeah, we can all relate. We all see that and find the humor in it. Words don't offend me. Ideas don't offend me. The intent behind them is what I will get upset about.
Oh, totally. And I think, you know, this is it. So, there's always going to be someone who just hears a certain word, but they didn't know the context. And it's like, well, here's the thing. Well, yes, there's that, but we got to differentiate. I mean, it's just the same as the person telling the joke. Are they saying it because they heard it and they thought, I'll just take it? Or did they actually mean it? And,
right.
Or are they making fun of another joke, which I'm even more blown away by that when someone can break down other people's famous jokes or just a commonly told joke and then explain why it's funny. You know, having a comedian as a teacher is just a great experience in general. But I mean, it's like, why is that funny versus why is it not funny?
You know, but then at the same note, you also, you have to be conscious of other people. You can't just go around. I mean, okay. You can just go around saying whatever you want to say and doing whatever you want to do in this country. You will reap benefits from it and you will reap responsibilities because of it. So you have to be thoughtful enough to, you know, go, all right, I know everyone's not going to like my stuff. I know everyone's not going to like me, and that's fine. But at the same time, I can't overtly go out of my way to offend and upset and degrade and just, well, shit on people. Just be a decent person. Be a decent person, but you can still have the edge of humor as long as I think everything comes from the right place. And, you know, talking about the comedy show or the host, the comedy host, I think that's a big,
responsibility
tipping. It's a big responsibility, but there's a big tipping balance right there. You get people like, for example, I always leaned towards Letterman over Carson. I always leaned on towards Conan over Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with Kimmel. There's nothing wrong with Fallon. They're fine. But they are trying to throw out the big net and capture everyone and be family friendly before you click off the TV at night and roll into bed. They're trying to be that host. And there's a place for that, for sure. But I never found it, A, genuine, to be honest with you, and B, I never found it that funny because they're trying to be – everyone loves cake. Well, try it instead. Be a cobbler, man, you know? Be something different. Not everyone's going to like it, but the people that do like it will really, really like it. And that's, right. You know
– because I think that's just it. Leno and Letterman were kind of – when they weren't doing their own thing, they were kind of trying to just get in a feud. And Jimmy Kimmel was on Conan's podcast about 3 years ago, and he stated just up front, and's like, I never wanted to be the next Leno or Letterman. I just wanted to do my own comedy turf. I'm only known as being a DJ and the creator of the Man Show. You know, I don't. And Conan was kind of the same way. He's like, okay, I've been a comedy writer for The Simpsons and Saturday Night Live, and now I got to be my own kind of weird and kind of funny. And he makes fun of producers a lot and how they would give him notes and just say, can you guys just stop being weird? And then convince them that it was their idea, and then they'd, you know, leave him alone.
Yeah. Conan. So my all-time favorite talk show host in the comedian realm is Conan. I talked to Ricky. I talked to Ricky before we did this one tonight because I wanted to make sure that the NOCA News Network as a whole had an official stance on this. And we say it's Conan, Letterman, Arsenio Hall, and everyone else below that.
Oh, Arsenio Hall. I'm so glad you brought him up. He gets forgotten.
That's it.
And I'll even bring him up. I'm like, Jesus. I mean, you fuckers knew Keenery Ivory Wayans had a talk show host, but you're not. He didn't know about Arsenio? Come on. I mean, he even came back briefly when I saw the episode where he was promoting the Who's Line Gang.
You know, Arsenio, I thought he did a really good job back in the day. So, you know, back in the day, you had Carson Still, you had Letterman. And I remember Letterman back so long ago to where somebody didn't show up on his show, so instead he brought out a toaster, made toast, and threw it at the crowd.
I remember hearing about
that. And that's how he killed time. I remember watching that as a kid going, this is great. I always had the real off type of sense of humor. So I love, like, Weird Al. I love
Weird Al is a perfect example.
I love zany, not zany. Let me rephrase it. I like slapstick comedy and I like zaniness, but it has to have a little bit of intelligence behind it.
Oh, totally.
And you know, I think that's what Dave in the early days, specifically when he had Chris Elliott on there and Super Dave Osborne and all these other side characters that would come on there when he did the things with, and then in the more recent years, he did things with, what was it, Rupert G, who owned the deli.
Rupert G, like even Tim Thomerson, of all people.
Yeah, he would bring these guys in and do things with them. And that's what Conan, I thought, was a very edgy, younger. I just got the humor was there. And you could tell that he and the comedy writers that he had on his show all had a different sense of humor, but it was all the same in that group. So everything seemed right. Everything felt together. Totally. You know, whereas Carson, some of his bits were funny, you know, but at the same time, some of those bits you just sit there and you're like, I don't get it. And maybe it's an age difference.
It's just Johnny being Johnny versus it's got something to say tonight, you know.
Right. And Conan always had like a little bit of I'm a fraud. You know, he always had that like this.
He's self-deprecating. I'm a bad actor. I played myself in other movies.
He knows he's full of shit. He knows that he's like, I shouldn't have this job. You know, I mean, you got Letterman, you got Carson, but and then you got me. I mean, how in the hell did this happen? But yeah. it happened because everything that he put out seemed legit, and it all seemed honest, and I think people bonded to that regardless of his sense of humor.
Totally, because they felt like he was pretty okay with just, I mean, what was popular around that time was, you know, people who were kind of wacky hosting infamous shows like, you know, Maury Povich and, you know, Jerry Springer, mm-hmm. and then you got, you know, shock jocks like, again, Howard Stern, but yeah, Conan was pretty good at just flat out just kind of just saying is like, hey, if you take anything about the show seriously, I mean, why the hell are you even watching this?
Yeah, and he knew how to make sure that the guests, he knew when it was his time to be the star and the guest time to be the star.
Like, never talked over him, never.
No, he's a lot better than I am. And you know,
I've been bad.
That's why we don't have many guests on our show.
Oh,
you know, but it's like Norm Macdonald, rest in peace, Norm.
Oh, Norm.
I loved Norm Macdonald's comedy. His show was horrendous. A, because he was not a host kind of guy, and B, I'm sure he had a lot of corporate hands.
Which one? He did so many, like the Comedy Central one.
No, I meant like the actual Norm Macdonald show back during the,
'90s after Drew 90s? Carey.
Yeah, it just wasn't good. But, you know, Conan, like I said, I think he had that special knack. Now let's see who the next person that will step in and take that spot will be.
Yeah, because right now we kind of just got people who have been on for years and now they've just, you know, they took like a absence and now they got a different format, like, or different podcasts, like, you know, Jon Stewart has a new Apple show. Who's the other guy who just returned? I mean, Trevor Noah, I'm sure we'll do something else after this. Sure. He'll probably host a stand-up show.
We still have Colbert.
Colbert, well, Colbert's a good example. It's like, he found, mm-hmm. when he found, he really, I think it was on either Andy Richter, which I think is a perfect example of, you know, he's just known as the moderator on Conan. He's really comfortable doing his own shtick. Yeah, Colbert was on either him or Rob Lowe's podcast, and they just talked about is like his whole deal was just kind of realizing is like, hey, no, I don't want to keep being an actor, and I don't want to keep being a comedic writer, and I've already played this alternate version of myself. You know, I created a character, and Comedy Central owns it and won't let me do it for sister channel, and I'm okay with that because now I kind of can just show my naked soul to the world and just go from there.
Yeah, that was great because everyone pretty much knows where Colbert lands on the political spectrum, and then I love that when he first came out and was actually Stephen Colbert.
Oh, totally
the real person. It threw a lot of people off because a lot of people thought that the character from The Daily Show was the real version. And it's like,
I know some people who are like, where'd he go? I'm like, do you not watch TV anymore?
No.
He's always been on. I mean, hell, the character started on The Daily Show, and then that's when Stewart threw in the towel for him and said, hey, man, you got to get your own thing. You're too awesome.
You're killing it here. And like I said, I think, you know, he's really held his own and done a very good job of what he does. But I think he's in a different category than what Conan and what Letterman.
Oh, totally.
Did.
He's more like a Bill Maher kind of approach. Variety show.
We still need a alternative late night talk host. I mean, like I said, you had Carson, you had Leno, you had, even though Leno was supposed to be a comedy guy, whatever,
right?
That's my thoughts, exactly.
Jaywalking.
Yeah, jaywalking. Well, good job.
That was a knockoff.
Now, and Fallon does some good stuff now, but it just seems very vanilla. So we have those traditional.
It's a little too safe versus.
It's very safe. It's the orange vest and the safety crossing sign.
I don't even know why he even gets a talk show host, like someone on his show. Because he never asks them any questions. He's too busy laughing at them. And half the time they'll be like, you haven't seen this, have you?
It's all the easy softball stuff. So it's like, if you have a show, say, okay, you and I make a movie. Obviously, we're going to want to go on that because it's so, you know, it's so recognized. It's, you know, one of my goals as a kid was to be on Saturday Night Live, to host Saturday Night Live.
Oh, really?
And it's because... if you can host it, regardless if you have a good show or not, people knew you hosted it. You know, that's a big deal.
Your household name.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's before you get to the advertising, you're endorsing your own ice cream or beer.
Yeah, that's next, right?
So. No, that's so true. I mean, I think that was just kind of... I think that's where a lot of these opened up a lot of people who are now comedians. Cause it's like growing up, you were told you should be an astronaut. You should be a fireman, a doctor, you know, a cop. And it's like, now we know that those aren't very hardworking environments. And in some cases, probably dangerous. And this is like, yeah, I don't think anyone really wants to be those anymore. Half the time, everyone would rather form their own kind of business, whether it's working on cars, being a lawyer, or just some other kind of just bullshit that's way easier, you know, selling houses.
Yeah, you know, it's like I was always getting in trouble for being a smart mouth when I was a kid, and my mom always told me I run my mouth a lot, so I was like, well, maybe I can make a living doing that.
And, right,
and
unfiltered.
Yeah, my problem, though, is I probably would have been a lot more successful 20 years ago because of the fact that my filter it's hard because my filter was created in a time that we can't live in anymore. And no. I want to, and I'm very interested to see what happens on the talk show front. I'm very interested to see what happens, period, with comedy. And that's kind of, you know, again, that's how Ricky and I approach things is, you know, we were created comedy wise in a different time frame. That's why we do the action movies, is that, you know, for good or bad, you know, whatever you might think of Rambo or RoboCop or any of these other action movies, Predator, for example, yes, there's a lot of toxic masculinity in there, and yes, it's a big testosterone festival and stuff. Of course it is. But I still think there are elements from these films that you can pull into today's society and enjoy them. But that's the thing is, I think that, you know, certain people don't know about some of these movies. Heck, I don't even know about some of these movies that we do. But, you know, I think that you have to look at everything in a specific set of glasses. You know, we do comedy that we think is funny without trying to, you know, piss off everybody at the same time. Let me take that back. We don't care if we piss you off. We don't want to just outright, you know, break your heart and be just shitty people.
Oh, exactly.
You can still do that type of comedy. You can still do those type of movies. You can still enjoy the action of the 80s and 90s without being a shitty person.
Oh,
and
totally.
I think the problem is, and I'm very guilty of it most of my life, is that it's a black and white thing when there's a lot of shades of gray out there. I don't see a lot of shades of gray in my life, and that it has hurt me, and it's something I'm working on. But at the same time, you know, I know that that's out there, and that's where these other these action movies of the 80s and 90s that come in. That's where this, yeah, and that's where you have to be aware of stuff. We just did a movie and we watched it and we reviewed it. And we went, the nudity in this was ridiculous. It didn't need to be there,
right?
You know, this was great. This was great. This was awesome. This was horrible. This was crap. But then this nudity was just like, why? What was the purpose of that?
The narrow-minded will just laugh regardless at whatever review, but yeah. The ones who are actually listening to you will just say, yeah, I can understand why this movie is a guilty pleasure or why this is a classic, or it's a clean movie that we just still just certain audiences are just not going to understand or see the appeal of. And it is kind of interesting how I find that it's pretty easy to put across whatever persona that you want to put. It's just kind of comes down to don't try to do too much than you're willing to do. And that's kind of, I mean, I've been on plenty of podcasts before and some of them were real shit shows because people weren't editing them on time or promoting them. And it's like, so we're just hearing ourselves talk. That was a possibility to begin with, but it was even more just frustrating when it's like, you know, we had people who wanted to talk about topics and then they would just either not show up. And this was in person. So this is even more of a annoying environment, but then they just didn't have anything much to say. They just wanted to just kind of go, yeah, this is very cool. I'm like, okay, yeah, no, that's it's not a review.
Yeah, everything that you guys have produced on the show, everything that we have covered on either the Action Pod or now the Horror Podcast that Charlie and Nate do, or on the NOCA show where we're making fun of people that you know, we do a Florida Man segment every week because it's a nightmare. And, you know, a guy gets drunk and beats up an alligator. You know, we do these things because you may get offended by it. You may be like, well, that's not funny. I'm from Florida. Okay, well, that's great. But you know what? Not everyone likes chocolate either. You know, and using the same analogy, we know chocolate isn't necessarily good for you. But we all enjoy it. We all want a bite of it. We all want.
And not everyone can even handle dark chocolate. So what's the alternative? You're going to eat the regular sugar.
Exactly. You know, so there's stuff out there that we know is not good for us, but human nature says we're still going to enjoy it. You know, we know RoboCop may not be good for us, but we're going to enjoy it. We know that we make a joke about a lady who's found a bat in her crotch and then it died because she has killer bat crotch. You know, we know that's not great for us, but we make fun of it because it's funny. We all enjoy these things. And at the end of the day, if you can't laugh at things that you know are ridiculous, then I'm sorry, but what's your favorite color? Clear, and your favorite drink's water? I mean, I don't know what to tell you at that point. To circle back, I think Conan knew that when he started doing his show. He had to talk about the ridiculous.
Well,
Carson wasn't.
He kept kind of just looking ahead at himself. I mean, even before he basically gave the finger to NBC and just making fun of him. We're having a car here just so we can give a final fuck you to them for wasting our time.
Exactly. You know, and the thing about Conan, too, for all Conan fans, if it wasn't for Letterman, Conan wouldn't have been successful. Because as Conan's bombing out doing his show, because honestly, he didn't know what the hell he was doing, Letterman came onto his show unprompted. It was Dave's idea to really put him over, to get him his stamp of approval on him, because he knew what he could be. And, you know, so for those of you out there that are Conan fans, if you have a chance, please go back and see Letterman's appearance on Conan when he promoted him, essentially. It's on YouTube. Check it out. It's really, really good. And, you know, I think it was a passing of the torch. Like, again, like I said, I want to see who takes up the mantle now.
Totally. And I think the ones who have just been writing for years, those are the ones that are going to keep exploding. And the ones who keep putting, I mean, the ones who have always had a platform, like Jim Norton, is never going to evolve. He's going to keep just going back to Opie and Anthony, because those are the only people who will put up with his libertarian, you know, rants. And it is kind of getting old with the whole comedian saying, what can I say? I'm like, Well, before we had all these social media wars, this was never a problem for you, because this is no different than, am I in working with a PG rated crowd or an R rated crowd? You know,
right,
am I doing a Pixar voiceover? Or am I starring in a R rated Tarantino movie? What's the memo? What's the modus operandi?
Yes, exactly. You know, like you were saying, I do two podcasts regularly. One, we say fuck. The other, we don't. It's not that hard.
It really isn't. You do it second nature.
If you're talented enough, you can do both of those things. It's not that big of a deal. I was trained.
Comes out.
Yeah, I mean, I was taught and trained and went to broadcast school. I've been on I've been on FM air. I've done it before. It's fine. It's not a big deal. I've done it, and not once had I ever slipped up to the point where I would be in trouble. Okay, but I turn on a podcast, like I did one where we don't curse. I didn't curse. I did one where we don't, you know, use an F-bomb. I didn't use the I do the one that we do on NOCA, and we say whatever we want to say.
Oh, totally.
It's not hard to do. I'm the editor
of this damn podcast, and there were plenty of times where it's like, yeah, that joke I did, I mean, it bombed with even the guests, so I'm going to just delete that. I'm playing God with this whole thing, you know, just omit it.
Feel my ultimate power.
Right.
Exactly. You know, you can do those things, and, you know, it's – you know, this podcast that I'm doing with you is different than what I've done in the past, because this is the first time this is the second time I've been a guest on someone else's podcast.
Woo!
And that's it. It's the second time. It's a little different. The first one we did was with Monster Movie Stomp Down with Sludgecast, and we talked about Predator. Awesome. It was great because it was an extension of what we do on the Action Pod.
Talk about this is the first time I've
This is the first time I've been like an interview type of situation. So instead of being ha ha funny, hee hee funny dick and fart jokes, I'm trying to be a little more serious, which is not easy for me, but that's okay. But sometimes comedy isn't either. If you listen to the show, you understand that. But, you know, but like I said, I think in today's society, if you know, first of all, be mindful. Second of all, be intelligent. You can't just run out and yell dick, dick, fart, fart, dick, dick, titty. You can't do it. It's not going to work. You're not going to get the laughs. It's not going to be like what was the one Eddie Murphy famous bit from Raw? It wasn't delirious. He was talking about, he goes, people from foreign countries come over and see HBO and they see my show and all they hear is fuck you. So they're like, you're the fuck you man. That's all they got from Eddie Murphy back then, you know? So don't just be the fuck you man. Come up with some comedy, come up with some intellectual ideas
We're with a family friend of theirs and they were in a hotel and they made the mistake of Bijan wanted to just watch something funny before they went to bed. And he made the mistake of watching one of Nikki Glaser's programs. And, you know, it was way more unfiltered than her, you know. Here's another person, you know, had a show for just 1 year and still just instant comedy sensation. And Dave Chappelle instantly immortalized, even though his show is, you know, over 20 years old now, you know, and it was just one of those. It's like, it's not that it wasn't funny. It's just, they didn't know what kind of comedy to expect. So then it was just like, okay, yeah. It's like, if you haven't, sometimes some people you can take a chance on life because you know what they generally are about. And then it's like, in this case, it was, well,
I mean, you know, all I try to do whenever I'm trying to be funny and trying to be do performance and stuff is I'm just trying to make the other person I'm talking to laugh. If I can make them laugh, if I can make myself laugh, then
odds are
someone else will find it funny. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think that, you know, I hope that extends, you know, to all media nowadays. The other thing that we have to consider talking about these comedy hosts. This is not the era of just watching TV now.
No,
you know, there's so many podcasts out there. I mean,
Phil McHale had a Netflix show where he basically just made fun of recent events.
Yeah, you know, it's so many. So maybe the next big comedic talk show host will not be on TV. Maybe, you know, like maybe Mark Maron is someone would consider being the next big one.
Oh, hell, I can see him getting a new one. I mean, Drew Carey and Wayne Brady have been hosting game shows for years, but everyone forgets they started out, you know, Drew was the host of Whose Line, and then Wayne Brady went on and kind of played off of that briefly and did his own sketch show, and then they weren't impressed with the ratings but still won around, so then they changed it into a daytime talk show, and then he just went back to Whose Line.
Well, they're lucky because Wayne Brady almost had to choke a bitch, remember?
Yeah, almost took over Chappelle's show.
He almost had to take over Dave's, that's right. So who knows what's going to happen with the future of media too. You know, I mean, we know what it's like fighting, you know, to get our little tiny hand up in the sea of podcasts, so people will see it and pluck us out of obscurity and listen to our
stuff. Oh yeah. Even just a guest spot is enough to make the rounds on social media, because people will now just take stuff and just repackage it. Now it's faster than a DVD bin. I mean, that really is. Stuff will spread like wildflower. In fact, it's funny when you're talking about Wayne Brady, do you remember he was kind of filling in for 3 days in between Ferguson and James Corden?
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was so funny. I was like, and the fact that they did not go with them pissed me off even more. I was like, you guys, you got some great talent right there. And personally, I just flipped off on everyone on the last day. That's what I would have done. I would have been like, come on.
Well, I think Wayne Brady is very good. I think he'd be a very good host, but I think he would still be the traditional safe version.
Really?
I don't think he's got enough edge to him to be.
If you listen to some of his other messed up voiceovers and stand-up.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Yes, he can do that thing. He can do those things, but I don't think he didn't become a household name because of that. He became a household name by being the entertaining guy on Whose Line and hosting Who Wants to Make a Deal and things like that. I think that is what he would be on a network show, because that's already what he is. Now, if he had got to start out, you know, well, for example, let's say Tom Green.
That's Tom a good Green example.
Was always he was Went always a basket case.
Before the internet was even a thing, and he's still on the internet.
Always nuts. Yeah, so when he had the Tom Green show and he did a song about putting his butt on people, that's what you expected. Tom Green was nuts from day one. Whereas if Tom Green had started off as a lovable, you know, sidekick or a wholesome choice here or there or whatever,
what could have been?
It wouldn't have been the same thing. So that's the same thing with Wayne Brady. That's the reason the whole does Wayne Brady have to choke a bitch? That's why that joke worked, because Wayne was the wholesome, you know,
not I'll someone you expect to do that.
Yeah, exactly. He was that wholesome image. So I don't think he could be the next alternative to, you know, Jimmy Kimmel and them. I think he would just kind of get lost in the shuffle of that mold, to be honest with you. I think Jimmy Kimmel does it better than anybody out there right now. He knows what he has to do. He knows how to, you know, make Metallica play little, you know, play school instruments and do a song and gets everybody to like it, no matter who you are.
Especially when
he knows what he's doing.
He started out just inviting his friends Carolla and Sarah Silverman on because he didn't have any guests yet and no one knew if it would take off. I mean, you look at Chevy Chase, how it's like there's a reason he wasn't talk show host material, because the man was already just not 100% as a person. He had no sense of organization. He just wanted laughs or, well, fuck you then, you know.
it's like Steve Martin. Steve Martin is hilarious. He's a musician. He's hysterical. I don't think he could host a show like that. I think he would definitely
get very impatient and people would quit after a while of him being temperamental, because he kind of is kind of like Rodney Dangerfield. He expects instant laughs because he's branded it so long. And you've heard the stories about Dangerfield filming Caddyshack. He's like, why is no one laughing? It's like, because it's a movie. The comedy comes later.
It's something funny. Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, that's the thing is I don't know who at this point now would be the person to step up and I don't know what network would let them just step up and do whatever they wanted to do.
How do you play it safe and then eventually come out of the woodwork is like, hey, it's after 10 o'clock. I can say this.
Well, that's it. I think that whatever steps up now and becomes the next thing, I think we're going to have a period of time where we have Flavor of the Month. We have some revolving door hosts until something catches on. I think that thing will have to come from the net. I think it'll be a net presence of some type. I'm hoping that I'm the only 45-year-old that actually is probably going on 80. I don't get a lot of the new TikToks and humor and things of this nature, so I'm hoping it's something I can still find funny.
Those guys, but the ones that won't be there for a while, I mean, if anything, I think it's one of those moments where it's kind of like when you're trusting that a certain movie with a certain star will do well. There's plenty of them that won't do well just because the marketing right. wasn't there, or didn't know what to expect, or they were just going by Netflix numbers to see how it does over time and then make an announcement. But I think, like you say, there is so much that needs to be learned. I mean, talk about how many times you've seen a show and it just felt like it was the, how many comedy shows felt like they were the billionth Home Improvement, Friends, or Seinfeld knockoff? Same thing with the crime shows. Sure. Is it going to be grittier than Law and Order? Or is it just going to be sexy and fancy like CSI? Or can it actually kind of just break through the woodwork and it's its own special deal like Bones or what's the other one? I mean, there's Homicide and NYPD Blue. Is like you can be your own kind of formula and people followed you and didn't feel like you were just a regurgitation of another similar deal. And it definitely the same thing with the comedians. Is like people would get into debates about who told the joke first. Like Carlos Mencia was kind of trying to follow, again, you know, Dave Attell and Dave Chappelle's lead. He didn't have that edge. He kind of just had like free jokes that people laughed at or didn't laugh at, and he just kept retelling them to where he ran out of material. I think Frank Caliendo was another one. He kind of, a lot of the Mad TV guys, when everyone's like, oh, that guy was funny, I miss him, is like people forget some of them were kind of like some of the now delisted SNL comedians where they didn't have any sense of organization. They would take credit for everyone's jokes, so they ruptured a bunch of feathers right up in there. And like Ari Spears, I didn't know he was such an asshole about Key and Peele. And it's like, well, here's the thing. Key and Peele had patience. They were team players. Aries kind of, like some of the other guys, first 5 years of Mad TV, just wanted to be the star in every skit they were in. So
it
gets very annoying when the ego sticks out like a sore thumb and you're not willing to just kind of take and give.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like I said, I think the next alternative talk show host will have to be someone who is to the point in their career where they don't give a shit anymore. They don't care if the network or the station heads or whatever come after them, because they're just going to be like, look, this is what I'm doing. You wanted me. This is what I'm doing. I'm allowed to do my own thing. And I think they need to be on a station or a network that will allow them to do that. I don't know who that would be at this point. I mean, again, it has to be someone. It's a special blend of talents and skill sets to be a good host. Not everyone can do it. And, you know, I'm very interested to see, now that Conan's gone, who and when someone steps in that spot. Carson, you know, when he was leaving out, the big search was who's going to end up being Leno. And, you know, Leno, again, to me, was just white bread sandwich. Just, he wasn't very funny. He wasn't humorous.
He refused to curse. And then I saw him cursing later, his final few years. I'm like, you're the same guy who said, oh, cursing is lazy, so you're a sellout. He didn't mean anything. It's,
you know, honestly, I think would do probably a pretty funny job. But again, he would have to be allowed off the leash to do whatever the hell he wanted to, is maybe someone like Bob Saget. I think
Saget would be interesting. Bob,
I think he could be funny. Odenkirk would be good.
Personally, I would love to as Falconen, and then go a step further.
Give me the Mr. Show guys. Bring Odenkirk in. Bring the little dude. My brain stopped working.
That guy.
No. You know who I'm talking about. Damn it, I'm going to have to pull up an IMDb now and pull a name, because my brain's not working now. It's late in the evening, and I worked all day, so now my brain's not working. All right, fill some time for me. I gotta look this up real quick because my brain's not working now.
Carson Daly. Now he sucks. He was just a variety show, and he was carried.
Shut your mouth. David Cross. David Cross. I couldn't pull out of my ass.
David.
Yeah. Cross. Yeah. So yes. So people like Odenkirk, David Cross, Posehn, I think would be funny. I don't know if Posehn could host. I think eventually,
I don't think he could. I think someone would just piss him off, or a guest would talk about Star Wars and it would just break his geekdom factor. And he just doesn't have that level of patience, which is why he became a comedian. Years ago, exactly. I would have liked to have seen his other gal who's been in a bunch of the same sitcoms as him, Marilyn Rajkub. You probably know her as Chloe on 24. Mm-hmm. And definitely for Mr. Show. I mean, for God's sake, she dated David Cross. But I don't know if she could carry it. I think she would just have to keep doing the supporting stuff where, you know, she's the coworker who speaks her mind or
moderator. Like I said, it's almost got to be someone who, I don't know. I wish I knew. I mean, I'll take the job. I don't know how well I would do, but if someone wants to pay me a lot of money to try, I'll give it a shot. That's the big thing is.
There's been some sitcoms that have aired and they're just instantly just fell apart because they were either so unimaginative with what they were doing or
just bad.
Like Craig Robinson had one. And it's like, I really think that fucked with his career. Like he would be a great host depending on whether it's on Adult Swim versus NBC. But at the same time,
I think he would.
One of those where it was just like, whoever he was saddled with is like, it didn't deserve to even be in the same category. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I like Craig Robinson a lot. I think he's hilarious. I think he would do a good job. You're right. Something like that. Or even
because there's been shows that have even made fun of other talk show hosts, or they made fun of sitcoms and how they can be pretentious with the laugh track, laughing at forced humor. And it's like, but I think that's just it. I think so many markets just kind of come and go. People just try and tread the water saying, well, we could try that maybe 10 years ago, but we missed our window. And then no one's really tuning into that. And how do we justify the numbers and all that? There's so many office politics too. So I think, if you could get someone from just some other established brand, some other kind of thing, like get just some random person from Parks and Rec or just some other nutty show, there's going to be someone who will tune in. But now,
I'm thinking now, like, you know, you said Craig Robinson, so you got like Ed Helms that could be pretty good, I don't know how he would do the host side of things. You got John Krasinski that could host real well and is pretty funny, but I don't, you know, it's really hard.
Jason Sudeikis tried hosting, you know, at award shows and on a TBS show that no one remembered. That was just a summer replacement and it was awkwardly bad. He was just saying humor and then making fun of how bad the punchline he had delivered was. And it was just like, that was the longest 10 minutes I will never get back. I'm like, Sudeikis, you're a talented dude. And I don't know what's going on here, but there is just, it's like, just no thought put into any of this. It just,
Chris Pratt could probably do it, but he's a movie star now. He doesn't want to do something like that. It's
going that would be really a backup plan.
Challenging.
Yeah.
I think it's a real challenge to find someone to fit that particular alternative talk show host.
Well, and then how do you even just kind of justify being on the air and all that? And what do you do? Like, what are you going to play music in your last half? Or is it for the most part just going to be a bunch of interconnected skits? Like, I think Colbert was really helped out because he had Brian, what's his name? Stack, I think is his name, who played the interrupter on Conan and a bunch of other skits and even had several, you know, tributes done to him because he was just an MVP of just, I'm going to be a skit performer. And now he's the head writer on Colbert and doing various impressions of people. And it's just like, we light up every time because my sister and I, we've known him for years on Conan and to see him be with his other comedic talent is just a godsend from a comedy standpoint. So, if there's anyone else, like, you would have to really just get a bunch of great talents together who can just all think alike. Like, I think if you got someone from Will and Grace or Frasier and then you mix them in with some other comedy guys, I mean, don't get me wrong, a combo doesn't necessarily mean it'll work out. That it could easily be too many cooks in the kitchen and just totally backfire. Be one stinky untasty meal. But it could also, with the right prepping and producing, I mean, you would also just need a good network. Like, I think NBC really lost the comedy edge, because then they tried to kind of capitalize on their success and they're like, oh, why is this show by the producer of Parks and Rec or Friends not doing any good? I'm like, because it doesn't know what made those shows be good, or it's just coming off as a copycat and it's just, it looks lazy. So you gotta, I definitely wouldn't mess with Fox. Fox would probably not even market it right. And so,
no, you're right. It's hard, because the only reason Conan worked on TBS is because Conan was who he was at the time and walked in, and TBS pretty much went, hey, you can have whatever you want and do whatever you want. And
yeah,
if it was, you know, if it wasn't for that, you need a network that still has a credible reach and spread.
And spread, you need, like that virus.
Spread like that virus. And you need to be able to pull a name that will bring eyes to that channel. And that's a hard combination to put together. I would say someone from radio, but terrestrial radio talk shows have, you know, that's even a dying breed at this point. Trust me, I know, I tried, you know, it's
plenty of people, work. They have a voice, but they don't have a presence. So seeing them visually would be very, it's like when you see certain singers, you like seeing them hearing them on the radio, but not seeing them in concert. So yeah, same kind of predicament. Not everyone.
That's why I do podcasting.
Yeah. Don't have to worry about our hair and how we look.
That's why I don't do vlogs, because I have a voice for radio, man. I have a face for radio. That's
speaking of face, I mean, I meant to talk about him earlier, but we got to wrap this up. I think, what do you think about Elvira and Svengoolie? They hide behind makeup and they become a different persona, you know?
I'm okay with what's like, it's like Paul Rubens, for example.
Paul Rubens, you know, all the Mystery Science Theater guys, and they were the same way. The right people get it.
I really like that. That's kind of what we do on NOCA, is Ricky and I play a version of ourselves. Yeah. So, you know, that's why I think there's some things on that show, some outlandish shit that I'll get away with saying, because I think we've made the persona of my character, that version of Dan, the NOCA Dan, can get away with saying more shit than real Dan can get away with saying. And, you know, same thing with Ricky, even. It's definitely a persona-based thing. And I think that that's good, because, A, it allows you to put yourself in a different mind space.
Showcase,
I think
it
allows you to, and you can... There's things that, you know, just in my, you know, speaking of from my experience, there's things that NOCA Dan says and does that regular Dan necessarily doesn't. There are certain things that NOCA Dan probably thinks that real Dan doesn't.
And it's fun. You don't get bored because you're...
You don't, because I can...
So much stick.
Yeah, I can get away with shit. For Elvira played a very specific persona in her attire, in her appearance, and the way she acted. And she went a very obvious direction to be eye candy for a lot of guys and things of that nature. And then whole time
she would make fun of that too.
She would. And the funny thing is, the entire time Cassandra, it's come out that, you know, she's a lesbian. So she played a particular character on TV that was not who she is. It's professional wrestling. Professional wrestlers play a persona on TV, and the ones that are really, really good, like Stone Cold back in the day, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, some of the modern day guys like a guy named Jon Moxley, Ric Flair, Roddy Piper, some of these guys, they're really good because there are elements of who they really are in there, but they always say it's play yourself, turn to 11, you know, the whole Spinal Tap thing, ours go to 11, you know, and that's, I think, a really cool idea. I kind of wish maybe that's the next step. Maybe someone needs to come out to be the next comedy host, but they're a character like Jiminy Glick or something like that. Maybe that's the way to go. I don't know.
That's a good point. I mean, because, yeah, Comedy Central, when it experimented, it was just on fire, you know? Because
oh, yeah.
It was just cutting edge, and now it just seems like they kind of just go for just kind of the same. Whoever's not watching Adult Swim is like leftover stuff. It's like, okay, if we're not showing a rerun of a popular comedy show like Always Sunny or Office, we're going to do, yeah, just someone else makes fun of videos. We're trying to instill that, again, Glazer or Daniel Tosh numbers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's have Jeff Ross because we give him whatever anyone else doesn't get, you know, when he's not home hosting a comedy roast. And it's like, Jeff Ross is funny, but a lot of the writing for those shows really does vary. And I mean, I know David Spade has a show right now, and I was just like, yeah, no, I'm good.
You know, Comedy Central, when it was good, was essentially writers that never got a chance to be on screen or writers that just wanted to write, but
they had confidence. They had a persona, and
they were good, and they weren't given a chance to big networks. So Comedy Central said, do what you want to do. And we get things like Reno 911.
Yeah.
You know, Thomas Lennon, and brilliant. I thought Reno almost.
You know,
hilarious.
Something's bad.
I still watch it.
I mean, all the networks have been like this. You know, something's bad when all people want is just something from 10 to 20 years ago to just come back for a reunion that may or may not be good. You know, Fox ran out of content, so then they're just like, let's just bring X-Files, Prison Break, and 24 back. And same thing with NBC is like, let's just bring this other comedy show back because it's just. Can't justify what we got.
Yeah. I don't watch a lot of modern television, especially a lot of modern sitcoms. It's not very good. People make fun of me all the time that I watch old movies and I watch old, especially comedy and things of that nature, because a lot of the stuff nowadays, I just don't think it's very good. I don't think it's very creative. No. And, it is what it is. I'd rather watch an old episode of Chips.
Then
watch something new sometimes, you know, and
I'm still catching up on shit from years ago. I mean, and
yeah,
but there's plenty of other stuff where it's like, yeah, no, I always meant to finish that. And I'll definitely watch that over something like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I don't know why anyone finds that funny, but it's been on for a while. And
I like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but again, I haven't seen a lot of it. What I've seen of it, I found funny, and I enjoyed watching it. But again, I think that I could see where it could get old quick. To me, the funniest shows that I've ever seen sitcom wise is probably everything but the last season of Scrubs.
Oh yeah, very good example.
Last season was brutal. Parks and Rec, everything past half of the first season.
Yeah, please.
The first half of the first season was a little rough, but
at least Office was just 6 episodes in season 1, so it was just putting down the style.
And then Office, Coach is still one of my favorite shows. I think it's hilarious. I wish some streaming service would bring back Night Court. I think that was very well written. And Archer, at least the first 3 or 4 seasons of Archer, I think were hilarious.
You know, it's funny with Archer. I've watched pretty much episodes from every season, and it's one of those, it's a really funny show, but I keep making the mistake of watching it on a day when I am not in the mood for that kind of sarcastic kind of shit. And sure. It kind of got to me like with South Park. It's like, it'll always be on. It can go on for 500 more years and I will always respect it. It'll never get old for me. And at the same time, I was just like, I also don't have to see any more of it. You've seen one, you really have seen all like the greats.
Yeah, I don't watch South Park. If it's on in the background, of course I'll find something funny in it, but I don't search it out. The other show that I think recently has been really funny is Letterkenny.
Letterkenny is definitely another example, and that's the same thing. You gotta be in the mood for just light, just improv.
You've gotta know Letterkenny's coming. Yeah, you've gotta be ready for that. I agree.
And you can't expect fart and dick jokes, and I think that's the other thing too. I've tried to introduce certain people to Mystery Science Theater, and I've seen other people's like their tolerance for making fun of silly antenna movies really depends on how big of a film buff they are. And it's another rough trick. There's some people, they don't get the whole so bad it's good thing, or even the just being a campy retro looking puppet show is like they only know, hey, I want something good like the Muppets, or I want if it sucks. It's like, well,
right. Well, there's another podcast that we're affiliated with called Good Beer, Bad Movie Night.
Yeah, and, there you go.
You know, yes. Those guys and girl, they watch horrible movies on purpose. And that's the point of it. You know, one of my favorite, there's a movie out called, I'm going to butcher the name, Jesus Christ Zombie Hunter. Jesus Christ Vampire
Abraham
Hunter?
Lincoln.
No. This was Jesus beating up zombies, and I can't remember the name of it now. But it was probably filmed for $40, maybe. It's one of those. But it was on purpose.
It was a fun idea, not made with care.
Now I got to look it up because I can't remember the.
There's plenty of them. Helen Keller, Werewolf Hunter was another perfect example. But see, that was campy to begin with, making fun of all those goofy versus movies.
Yep, that's what. Okay, so it is. It's Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter. It was made in 2001, and it is. It on IMDb they list it as a kung fu action comedy horror musical about the second coming. So if anyone gets a chance to see that, please watch that. Do yourself a favor. I think it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Just watch it if you get a chance to. Please watch that.
And let us plug your show before we go.
All right. So the two shows that I do. So every other week you can find Give Me Back My Action Movies on Podbean or Spotify or wherever else you listen to podcasts. On the same feed on the alternating weeks will be Give Me Back My Horror Movies. And that will also be hosted by Charlie, but then hosted by Nate, not me, because I'm not a big horror buff. So that'll be those two guys. And then weekly, you can find myself and Ricky talking about the news that no one cares about on the NOCA News Comedy Podcast. It is on, again, Podbean, Spotify, blah, 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 wherever blah, blah, you blah. Find, blah, blah, blah. Wherever you find your podcast that you listen to, including this one. And you can reach us on the Facebooks and everything else. For those, please give those a listen if you are so inclined.
For sure. Thank you ever so much for being on here. This was truly a delight to just kind of get a very intricate retrospect on people who keep the comedy going and others who just kind of are there to fill time and don't stand out. So very
well,
cool.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you having me on. I think what you can boil down to is I really liked Conan quite a bit.
Trust me, we meant to talk about so many others. I would have loved to talk about Aisha Tyler and Joel McHale, but we only have time for so many, so we'll probably do another one of these retrospects.
Look, comedy needs to be somewhat experimental and edgy and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, the only unfunny thing out there is the world we live in, unless you listen to NOCA, and then it's probably pretty funny at that point because, you know, we try our best at that point. But no, seriously, comedy, you know, that's what we all need more of, I think, in life, especially in the world that we're in at this point. If you can't laugh at yourself, then man, you're in trouble. So just try to laugh at yourself at least once a day if you can.
Get an OnlyFans. I don't know.
Yeah, you can do porn on there now again. So you're fine. You're good. No problem.
For sure. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast Cure All, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy. African consumption, black fever, bone shave, chin cough, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get
it's
out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this movie.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept popping up.
Little history doll popping up at you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a rough
movie. How did you watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey.
And I'm Zach. And we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh yeah.
Bana 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 bana.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. Where the one last plot holes are gratuitous movies. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
At EILFM.podbean.com.
Welcome to Who Was She podcast. I am your host, Tara Jabari. After a decade working in documentaries, marketing, and all things digital media, I found that podcasting is a strong medium to share stories. After years of producing for others, I decided to start my own biographical podcast. Who Was She will focus on the life of a woman throughout Baha'i history. The first season is about Lydia Zemanoff. Lydia's story explores the subjects of the power of language and faith. Her father invented the universal language Esperanto, and she came from a Jewish family and became a Baha'i. She grew up during World War I and was killed during World War II in a concentration camp, despite heroic efforts to save her life. How can one person's life intersect with so many others, connect across borders, and inspire a biography which inspired this podcast? Over the next few weeks, I will share her story with you and the lives that were most affected by her and those who affected her life as well. They include her father, Ludwig Zemanoff, her spiritual mother, American journalist Martha Root, and the Baha'i German soldier Fritz Mako, who worked for the resistance undercover while having to serve the Nazi party. I want to thank the author Wendy Heller and George Ronald Publishing for their blessing to let me use Heller's biography, Lydia, The Life of Lydia Zemanoff, Daughter of Esperanto, as a main and instrumental resource for this podcast. So please subscribe and learn about this amazing woman who traveled through three continents in an effort to bring unity through the power of language. You can also find more information on our Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest at Who Was She Podcast. Music was composed and performed by Sam Redd. I am your host, Tara Jabari. Join us next time as we begin our journey about Lydia Zemanoff.
Are you sick of the same old stale podcasts? Well, then join Vanessa and Darren as they dissect movies of all kinds. The two lifelong cinema lovers bring their favorites, curiosities, and first-time watches to the operating table and inject them with a healthy dose of snark. Then there's the waiting room, where they examine books and short stories. So just look for them on Apple Podcasts and where fine podcasts are available. They're part of the Legion Podcast Network. Follow them on Twitter at VD Clinic Pod. Join them on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/VD Clinic Pod. Or email them at vdclinicpod@gmail.com. They're ready to cure what ails you. And still, they just might be a little contagious.
Hi there. It's Heather from the Watching Netflix Without You podcast. Did you know that there are over 1,200 Netflix original feature films and documentaries? And that number is only growing. So I've made it my mission to watch as many as I possibly can. Then, with a delightful guest or guests, disclaimer, more often than not my brother Ryan, we spend an episode rating, reviewing, and discussing a film at length. The first half of every episode is spoiler-free for those who haven't seen it yet. And in the second half, after a very clear spoiler warning, we dive into it. And that's really about it. You can listen to Watching Netflix Without You on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.
We now continue with our program.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.